to chapter 10, text 12 and 13. Where are we at here? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, yes, we can do 12 responsively. So this is Canto 11, chapter 10, the nature of fruitive activity. We're doing text 12 and 13. So 12. Acharya Ranir Ajashad Antevas Yutararani Tadsandhanam Pravachanam Vidya Sandhi Sukavaha Acharyaranir Ajashad Antevas Yutararani Tadsandhanam Pravachanam Vidya Sandhi Sukavaha Acharyaranirajasyad Antevasyutarani Tatsandhanam Pravachanam Vidya Sandhi Sukavaha. Please, John. Pravachanam Vidya Sandhi Sukavaha. Acharyaniradasya Antevasutarani Tatsandhanam Pravachanam Vidya Sandhi Sukavaha Acharyaniradasya Ante Vasutararani Tatsandhanam Pravachanam Vidya Sandhi Sukavaha. Mothers. Acharya Rani Radasya Ante Vasutararani Tatsandhanam Pravachanam Vidya Sandhi Sukavaha. Word for word. Acharyaha, the spiritual master. Arani, sacred kindling wood used in the sacrificial fire. Adyaha, held beneath. Syat, is to be considered. Antevasi, the disciple. Uttara, at the top. Aranihi, kindling wood. Tatsandhanam, the stick in the middle, which connects the upper and lower wood. Pravachanam, instructions. Vidya, transcendental knowledge. Sandhi, like the fire arising from the friction that spreads throughout the firewood. Sukha, happiness. Avaha, bringing. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: the spiritual master can be compared to the lower kindling stick, the disciple to the upper kindling stick, and the instruction given by the guru to the third stick placed in between. The transcendental knowledge communicated from guru to disciple is compared to the fire arising from the contact of these, which burns the darkness of ignorance to ashes, bringing great happiness both to guru and disciple. Purport: when the darkness of ignorance is burned to ashes, the dangerous life of ignorance is also eradicated, and one can work for his true self-interest in full knowledge. In this verse, the words Adya means original, and it indicates the spiritual master, who is compared to the sacred kindling stick held below. From the spiritual master, transcendental knowledge, like fire, is spread to the disciple. Just as friction between two sticks of firewood produces fire, similarly, bona fide contact between the spiritual master, who is the representative of Krishna, and a sincere disciple produces the fire of knowledge. When a disciple takes shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master, he automatically acquires perfect knowledge of his original spiritual form. 13. Vaishavadi sati visuddha bodhe dinoti mayam guna sampasitam gunascha sandaya yad atman etad swayam cha samyata samed asamne jagatni. Translation: by submissively hearing from an expert spiritual master, the expert disciple develops pure knowledge which repels the onslaught of material illusion arising from the three modes of material nature. Finally, this pure knowledge itself ceases, just as fire ceases when the stock of fuel has been consumed. Purport: the Sanskrit word Vaisharadi means that which is derived from the expert, Vaisharada, Visharada. Perfect transcendental knowledge comes from the expert spiritual master. And when such knowledge is heard by the expert disciple, it curbs the waves of material illusion. Since the Lord's illusory energy acts eternally within the material world, there is no possibility of destroying illusion. One may, however, destroy the presence of illusion within one's own heart. To accomplish this, the disciple must become expert in pleasing the expert spiritual master. As one advances to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness, experiencing the presence of the Lord everywhere, one's attention shifts to the transcendental platform. At that time, pure knowledge itself, one's constant technical awareness of illusion, diminishes. Thus, as fire diminishes and is extinguished after consuming its stock of fuel. Srila Madhvacharya has quoted from several Vedic scriptures to show that Maya, or material illusion, is just like a witch who always haunts the conditioned souls. Maya offers the conditioned soul whatever they like within the three modes of nature, but such offerings are all just like fire that burns the heart to ashes. Therefore, one must understand that the material world is a hellish place. offering a formal situation to no one. Externally, we experience many things, and internally, we contemplate our experience, formulating plans for future action. Thus, internally and externally, we are victims of ignorance. Real knowledge comes from the Vedas, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His form of perfect wisdom. If we become fully Krishna conscious, taking complete shelter of the Lord, there will be no scarcity of pleasure, because the Lord is a reservoir of all pleasure, and His devotees freely move within that reservoir. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishatan Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Shambhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimadishila Virabhava Prabhuti Namane Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapatranka Jatakadaya Ne Prabhupada Nupadaya Namashu Virabhavi Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Sannivadi Vashchati Deshikane Hare Krishna So, to start, I would like to ask for the help of some devotees here. On this term, I think it's an American term, dire need. Is that an American term? Yeah, you know, like there's a dire need to do something. I know it's a British term, that's what I grew up with. But as far as, is that correct? Dire need? Well, sometimes there's a little different of, you know, difference. But is that, and can anyone say what that means? Like what the word, where does the word dire comes from? Does it have something to do, anything to do with this need is so great? That's what I'm thinking, that this need is so great that even death can come between if it's not fulfilled. Does that make sense? So there is this great need. So at least in my understanding, that is dire need is something that is so significant. And we see this, there's a pastime that was manifested by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to his son Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj when he was a young man. Where this dire need came into place and which connects to today's verses. There was one instruction that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was so adamant about carrying out that instruction that even life was coming between. Can anyone say what that might be? That he was so adamant that his father was so strong that that this must happen. Exactly, to accept a spiritual master. That this dire need is dear for you to accept a spiritual master. It's so important that when Gaurakishore Das Babaji was rejecting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he was even talking of committing suicide. We all know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was so powerful, so intelligent, that he wrote his own language. One time I proudly told my co-workers, he said, you know what? My great-grandfather is the one who invented shorthand. So, language. And then I explained to them what I was talking about. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he wrote his own a shorthand language so that he can do his work faster. So he had so much qualifications. But the dire need, this great need was there for him to connect with a bona fide spiritual master. And he showed us, he by his own example, how this is so very important in spiritual life, in spiritual development. And that's what Krishna is talking about here today. You know, in the previous chapter, Krishna explains through the media of this, the story of this Avadhuta Brahman, what one should be a saintly person. And in this chapter, Krishna is giving instructions how to achieve that goal of being a saintly person. And the very first thing that comes here is the acceptance of the shelter of a spiritual master. So, in these verses, there are a couple of descriptions given for the disciple and the spiritual master. One here gives, in the first verse, it talks about bona fide spiritual master, and the second verse talks about expert spiritual master. So yet again, if you can help me, what are some of the words that can be used to describe the spiritual master? We have one is bona fide, one is expert. Can anyone share some other terms that are used to describe? Yes, Madam Monprabhu? Transparent. Yeah. Say that again. Enlightened. So, one here that I was thinking of that shows up in the Veda base also is perfect. And as for the disciple, what are some of the words used to describe him? Yeah, one is expert. Say that again. Submissive. The second verse talks about sincere. And in the foliage it also talks about perfect. So you have expert disciple, perfect disciple, bona fide disciple, sincere disciple. All these are there in the folio. So when we look at this, I try to understand what all of these means. And so if you look at it closely, we understand that there are like three categories of disciples. The first class, second class, and the third class. So the third class disciple is the one who, after receiving instructions, is getting a hard time to follow that. The second class disciple is one who, upon receiving instructions from the bona fide spiritual master, is able to carry out those instructions. And the first class, or the expert disciple, or the perfect disciple, is one who understands the intention of the spiritual master, how he wants him to be engaged. So he doesn't wait for instructions. He carries those instructions out without being asked. He knows the desire of the spiritual master. I remember some years ago, which was 1996, I believe, just before Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj passed away. He was in Guyana, and I had the opportunity of serving him for a little bit. And one of his disciples, we were talking, and he related one story to me. He said, and we were discussing this same point of understanding the instruction of the spiritual master. So he told me, he said that a few years before, he was there in Bhubaneswar with his Guru Maharaj. So he told his Guru Maharaj, he asked him, please give me your blessings that I want to go and live in Vrindavan. And his Guru Maharaj says, yes, you have it, you can go. So when he was walking out the room, he felt that something was wrong, that, you know, that he didn't feel the kind of pleasure, and he felt something was gravely wrong, so he came back in. And he said, oh Guru Maharaj, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to stay here and serve. So then he followed that instruction. So he didn't understand. He had a desire that he wants to go to Vrindavan. So he's trying to get that sanction by taking the blessing of his spiritual master. But his spiritual master had, his desire was for that disciple to stay there and serve. So that, you can say, is an example of a second class disciple. That upon receiving the instructions of the guru, then he is able to carry that out. He gave up his own desire for going somewhere else and stay there, because in those days it was so austere in Bhubaneswar. If you learn in the beginning days with Gaur Govinda Maharaj, how he used to sleep in the construction tents on the road with the karmis to spread Krishna consciousness. He was the only Vaishnav, he was a sannyas, and they were all drunks and whatever. He used to be there among them, and just to develop because of the situation. So anyway, it was pretty austere. So that's one example. And so then you have, so that's, you can say, once understand and carries on, then that's the heart of a perfect disciple. And then you have sincere, as what is described in this verse. So, what does that mean, if one is sincere? Does it mean that he's expert? Does it mean that he's perfect? Does it mean that he's bona fide? From the past in the Srila Prabhupada and the early days of spreading this movement, we hear Srila Prabhupada talks over and over again about his sincere followers. They weren't qualified, at least not at that time, but they were following. They were sincere, and they want to follow the expert spiritual master. So that was their qualification. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked this question. And he said, their great qualification is that they do what I say. So that is their great qualification. That's they're sincere enough to follow whatever instructions I gave them. So this is one of the qualifications of the disciple. And as for guru, you know, we have these different categories. Well, bona fide, we all are very, very familiar with that. Means that they are in the right disciplic succession, they are in the right connection, they are good followers of their spiritual master. I remember when I first joined this movement, that was the second question I asked. The discussion was about how to be a good leader. And Satru Maharaj was talking about that everyone should be gurus and be leaders, because that's our instructions. So I asked the question, how can I be a leader? And the answer is that one can be a leader by being a good follower. So if one becomes a good follower of the correct system, then that's bona fide right there. So that's one description of being bona fide. And I was looking up the words expert and perfect, and I found that there are quite a vast difference between these two descriptions of the Guru. Like if you look in folio, you won't see Srila Prabhupada talk so much about perfect. He talks more about expert. It's kind of interesting when I was doing some research on that. If you talk about a perfect person, it means that, you know, the person has no faults. It's like perfect. That's what the word means. There are no flaws, no nothing like that. But Srila Prabhupada used more the word expert. So then he thought, how does expert ties in with the activities of a spiritual master? And going through many places, Srila Prabhupada even in lectures described that expert means that one knows, the spiritual master knows how to engage the disciple in to bring him to an expert platform. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the spiritual master is let's say have, you know, is perfect, but he knows the perfect signs. So once he does that, and Srila Prabhupada gave the example of an engineer, that if a layman works under a perfect engineer that shows him how to exactly drive a nail into a wood, if he does that under the instruction of the engineer who's in charge, then he's carrying out his duties perfectly. So similarly, if the devotee is carrying out the instructions of his spiritual master perfectly and expertly by training someone else, then that's the expertise, and that's how he becomes expert. So these are some of the qualities that are there, that expert, you know, it means that one who can observe these instructions and pass them on, which means that they're able to manifest those qualities also and pass it on. And we see in the lives of many devotees how that's so. Like yesterday I was speaking with one Mataji, very cultured, devoted mother, who her husband, you know, is taking up the service of accepting disciples. And then I was thinking, because I was contemplating this class, and right away I was thinking about the teachings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his book Harinam Chintamani, how he talks about the activities of a spiritual master, a guru, that can sometimes be very deceiving. So to accept a sannyas as a guru, that's very simple, you know, they're renounced and everything is like just perfect, is there. But to accept a grihastha as a guru, it takes a lot more qualification in my eyes, and at least when looking at these verses, it takes a lot more understanding to understand their activities. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this, and this Harinam Chintamani, he wrote this sometime in the 1800s, when automobiles were, you know, hardly existing. And one thing he mentioned there, he said that sometimes it can be deceiving that a spiritual master may be taking care, polishing and cleaning his car, and takes care of his grihastha duties. And it can be very deceiving. It would appear as though it's kind of a material activities. But one should learn to see beyond that, to see the life that he's living and understand the instructions and follow those instructions. So that was very striking. I actually read that, and I listened to it on audio tapes back in 98, which is about 19 years ago. But that's about most I remember from that book, Harinam Chintamani. I don't remember much more. But that was very striking, that he talks about that in the 1800s, about cars and automobiles and the spiritual master, which means he totally foresees activities today, you know, what's going to happen or how things are going to be. And he made this presentation just so that one doesn't misunderstand the activities of a bona fide or an expert spiritual master. So I just want to bring up some of these points so that we can, you know, set a foundation of these verses here today. How this instruction and the sincerity of following our leaders, how that makes us bona fide and qualified. Like Srila Prabhupada always talked about, like somebody was saying about the spiritual master is the via media. Like Srila Prabhupada talks about the postman, who may be a rascal in himself, but he perfectly delivers this message. So even though one's activities may not be, you know, perfect because of, you know, the background or whatever, but if one observes these instructions sincerely and try to develop those qualities and share and instruct others, give them that expertise of how to engage in Krishna consciousness, then that is extremely important to us. Sometimes we have like one Diksha Guru but many Shikshas, because they all have different qualities that we can grasp from, we can choose from. So anyway, that setting the pace for today's verse, we talked about how this transcendental knowledge is being transmitted from the Guru to the disciple. And so Krishna gives this example of the Guru being the kindling stick that is sitting below, and the disciple is the other one above. And the instruction that the spiritual master gives, which is like fire that burns the ignorance away of the disciple, because fire goes upwards. So when his guru gives instructions, in the example here, like fire, the fire goes upwards and gets into the heart of the disciple and destroys this ignorance. So that means that this connection must be there of guru and disciple. It's one of the prerequisites of spiritual life. The very, very important that we accept the bona fide spiritual master, that we accept initiation. This example is also given, like one may go to the college. They may be sitting in a back seat observing the class, the lecturer would be giving. Hari Parayana, you can give probably testimony of that. Sometimes you give your lectures. You have your students who are officially enrolled in that class. But you may have one, two observers at the back that just sits in to listen. They would get some knowledge. They would understand what you're saying. They can study off their own. But at the end of the year or so, they would not be getting their certificates or diplomas. They will not get the qualification. They will not pass the exam because they're not officially enrolled. So similarly, you know, many of us can come to Krishna consciousness. We can see, we can observe Krishna consciousness, the practices, but unless we put the link of, you know, being initiated, being joining in the parampara, then it's a missing gap. It might be subtle, it might appear to be not very important, but it's extremely important. It's very, very important that connection be there, because that's what transmit this knowledge. And we see, as going back to the beginning of our class, how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj demonstrated this point so serious that he was wanting to give up his life if he wasn't accepted by a bona fide spiritual master to be his servant, humble servant and disciple. So this is an instruction that these things aren't here just for pastime's sake. I remember when, you know, before I came to Krishna consciousness, we used to be in the, you know, the Hindu temples, and we would read all these pastimes of Ram and so forth. And it's just like stories, you know, we just thought it like stories, with no meaning, with no, you know, just to hear stories. Okay, you came from a Hindu background, then you know some stories of the Ramayana. You came from a Christian background, you know some stories about, you know, Jesus. and similarly with Islam. But there was no connection, there was no authenticity, there was no, you know, like, meaning there. But when we came to Krishna consciousness, we understand that this connection has to be there. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also talks about it. 434, Tat Vidhi Prani Patene Paripashnena Shivaya. Upadex Gyan Kite Gyanam Gyanina Statva Darshana. So, one must approach. That's the important thing, and that's the key to Krishna consciousness. This humble approach, despite you might have so many activities, so many things are going on. But internally, this mood must be there. It's very, very important. This mood is there. And this submissiveness. So, Srila Prabhupada used to say with all his big preaching that he was doing throughout the world, he was saying that he is simply and humbly trying to serve his spiritual master. So that was his internal mood. Serving his spiritual master, carrying out his spiritual master's instruction to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So, and that's the mood that we are trying to observe also, to take these instructions and try to carry them out. And how well we can carry it out would prove our expertise as disciples. How we can absorb these instructions and try to satisfy the Guru and carry them out. And sometimes it's a lot of austerities. Like right now, you know, it's such a challenge for me because I just, for this festival this weekend, all of our other organizers are gone. I was supposed to be gone too, but I canceled all my trips just because everyone else is gone. And then our other help, we heard what happened to him last night in Radhadamdar Prabhu such. So now everything is left. So it's like such a challenge. How should I get everything together? Plus my work schedule, plus everything, but how we can attempt to do that, how we can try to make it happen, would show our sincerity and our willingness to follow and execute. So these are some points that I have, and these verses, there are much more to cover, but these verses are so extensive that it's not really possible, at least for me, to carry them out. So, are there any questions or comments or corrections? Kalepani Prabhu?
I looked up Daya.
Yeah.
It comes from the Greek deus or Latin deus, which means fear. The English meaning is ominous, awful, boding ill.
Can you repeat that? I missed that. There's this noise there.
It means ominous, awful, boding ill.
Oh.
And it comes from Greek, deus, fear.
Yes, so in other words, it's like similar to what we were discussing, that it has a fearful consequence if not executed, right? In a sense. So yes, so that's the need. That's the need of accepting the shelter of a spiritual master. Yeah. Tamahar Prabhu first?
I have another comment.
Okay.
I was thinking about the person being perfect. Yeah. I was thinking that you can understand a person's perfection if we separate the person from the body. Because the perfection is in the heart.
Anuhadvinashta
suryam jnana kramadhyan avatam. And material nature has its own perfection, which is that it's consistently, reliably imperfect. That's its purpose. So when we talk about a person being perfect, we can't expect them to be a kind of superman.
Yeah.
I mean, Prabhupada's English is not perfect, but that's material nature. And if we remember Krishna, like that, Ama Pavitra Pavitra La Sarva Vasta Kotoka, even if you pass through all dirty situations, If you remember Krishna, then you're externally, internally perfect. You're pure.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing up that point, because I wanted to, I brought this book for that same reason, the Nectar of Instruction. I'm only talking about a guru, what's the qualification? The very first instruction, Pachu Vegam, Anasa Kroda Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pasta Vegam, Itan Vegam, Yo Visaya Hita Dira, Sarvam Apimam, Pritabhim Sashishya. Translation, a sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, very important, and the urges of the tongue, belly and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So here is all the key words. Who can tolerate? Yeah. The word is there, tolerate, yeah. The urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges. So he doesn't say that one who is not affected by these urges. You know, and this is Srila Rupa Goswami. He's not saying that one who is not in this material world that they're not affected by these things. That these things don't touch them. It's like if you have someone like, you know, in a glass case, that the wind from the outside doesn't touch. No. He says one who is not affected, who can control, who can tolerate. So which means these things will be there coming to us despite our level of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada talked about that also. He said even him, Maya is testing. He says like that to his disciples. So that's very important. That's what explain what expertise means. Now that you're not touched by this material world, and this verse talks about the same thing, that we cannot take away illusion. What we can do, because illusion is an eternal part of this material world. Material illusion is there. What we can do, we can keep it out from our boundaries. We can keep ourselves clear by the instruction of the Guru, so we can bring ourselves to a transcendental platform and keep illusion out from our atmosphere. That we can do. Yeah, Tamahar Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, thank you. You actually just covered some of the things I was thinking about saying. Very, very tiny point here. I thought that was interesting historically about Bhaktivinoda Kaur talking about polishing your car. I just checked that Harinam Chintamani was written in 1900, so it is possible. I think there were a few
cars around,
and a few wealthy people might have had cars.
Right, yeah.
You know, he did work in very high circles of people with English, so he couldn't be familiar with that. Also, of course, I just wanted to comment on all the work that you and the whole team have done with these Rathi Yatras. They're such wonderful preaching opportunities, and you know, we're very grateful for what you've done. And I hope everybody heard his appeal that he's alone this weekend without much help. So if anybody can step forward and see Dharma Raj to offer a little assistance, that'd be very nice.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, that's coming from authority. So, yeah. I think Hari Parayana Prabhu had his hand up first.
Just looking at this verse, it says that the ignorance of the living entity is destroyed by Vaisharadi, the pure knowledge.
Yeah.
The ignorance of the living entity is destroyed by knowledge, and then it says that the knowledge subsides on its own, like a fire without fuel.
Yeah.
The same concept also comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto. I think it's the third chapter. Vaisharadi mati esha ukarata, yadi esha ukarata vaisharadi mati. This concept has always intrigued me. So what I understand here is that Krishna has two types of material shaktis. One is avidya and the other is vidya. Maya and Vidya, or in this case, she's called Vaisharadi. And the Vidya, which is given by the Guru, destroys this Maya. But then the question is, why does the Vidya go away? So the idea there is that this Vidya is under Sattva Guna. This Vidya is about knowledge of the self, of the soul. The soul exists in the body, soul is different from the body, but it's not complete. So you can now take two roads. You could be a Brahmavadi, or you could be a devotee, once you get the knowledge that you're not the body, but the soul. So the devotee gives up this knowledge that I'm the soul, gives up in the sense that it's in the background. Rather, Unlike the Brahmavadi, the devotee gets another ahankar. He thinks that he is the devotee of Krishna, and as the devotee advances the specific form in the spiritual world. And so that's transcendental. And therefore, if somebody is stuck on just that I am the soul, not the body, but doesn't have the concept that I am a devotee, Krishna Ranitya Das, then that person can become a Brahmavadi. That's why this concept of this vidya is also material and has to be given up, that in favor of the notion that I am actually related to Krishna and a servant. I don't know if this makes any sense.
Yeah, well, actually.
Anyway. Now, I've been thinking about this a lot.
It does, because this purport explains it from a different angle. And you bringing up that Brahmavadi point, that being a Brahmavadi also means that one has to be defensive towards illusion, because that's basically the level of a Brahmavadi, that neti, we're pushing out illusion, pushing out this, we're pushing out material life, you know. So this struggle to keep illusion away is still there. But when one becomes a transcendentalist, when one arises to the transcendental platform, that, you know, he sees Krishna everywhere, the instruction of the Guru infuses in his heart, that he becomes purified and he's acting totally on the transcendental platform, then on that platform he doesn't have to make efforts to keep himself pure. He doesn't have to make efforts to follow regulative principles and follow principles of a great Vaishnava. That those principles follows him. At that point, and that's how he described in his purport, that means that his knowledge ceases. In other words, he doesn't have to make that effort, that extra effort, to really keep himself like that. He's automatically there. So, in other words, it's almost like he becomes like in a bubble. Or like how some devotees describe Srila Prabhupada, that he had his effulgence around him. That wherever he goes, this certain effulgence is always around him. He doesn't have to make the effort to bring purity. Purity is already there, and so he just acts on that platform. He doesn't have to care, just like in the 10th canto we read about the gopis, when they're acting on a platform that goes totally beyond moral control and moral standards. Because they're acting on that platform, then they don't have to think about anything else. So like that, the devotee goes. So anyway, Madam Mohan Prabhu, you had a question?
Actually, I have two comments now.
Okay.
I was thinking of your question, and I remembered in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 14, Devotional Qualifications, it says some scholars recommend that knowledge and renunciation are important factors for elevating oneself to devotional service. But actually, that's not a fact. Actually, the cultivation of knowledge or renunciation, which are favorable for achieving a footing in Krishna consciousness, may be accepted in the beginning, but ultimately they may also come to be rejected, for devotional service is dependent on nothing other than the sentiment or desire for such service. It requires nothing more than sincerity.
Yeah.
So that one point. Then I remember that one verse. It comes out slowly. So
before you move on, can I say something on that? The first verse of this chapter talks about a similar thing. In the purport and in the verse of this verse, this very first verse here, that, you know, a similar thing is mentioned. What you're talking about?
You often think of like Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj having a discussion with Garga Muni, where, you know, this is Krishna, it's all, I just have to, those discussions on the advanced stage, because everything's in these books. So it also has, the verse that I was going to mention was Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Prema Tattva, Sara, Bhava Tattva, Rasa Tattva, Leela Tattva, Art. So it says those six things are going to be the complete Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness mean knowing these six items. And so it's, you can have the Krishna tattva, but ultimately when you have the bhava tattva, the rasa tattva, and the lila tattva, those things are the complete picture of where knowledge isn't the prominent factor in the consciousness anymore.
These are, we can say, is like a stepping stone to bring us, like Srila Prabhupada said, you know, like to chant 16 rounds, follow regulative principles, actually brings us to a platform where we can be liberated from this world, and then we can start engaging in devotional service.
I had one other interesting comment. I mentioned this, I guess, 10, 15 years ago, and it just reminded me of it again. Prabhupada was asked, how come there's no mention of initiation in the Sikshastika prayers? Mm. And Prabhupada said, oh, it's mentioned. He said, well, which ones it mentioned in? He says, Chanara Pisani China. He says, you have to be humble to have a spiritual master. And humble is the aspect of the beginning of knowledge. So unless one can submit to a spiritual master, then he's not.
That was actually the first, remember I said that I asked two questions when I first joined the movement? That was the first question. and then he, Sattva Maharaj, quoted Srila Prabhupada and asked, how can I become humble? And he quoted Srila Prabhupada. That Srila Prabhupada was asked the same question. And then Srila Prabhupada slammed his hand on his desk. He said, how can you become humble? And he slammed his hand. He said, by being aggressive for Krishna. By being aggressive for Krishna, that's how one becomes humble. So, and then, of course, the other side of the coin is that you have to be, you know, very humble before you can accept the spiritual master. We have seen in life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some of the things that he did, like somebody was saying in class yesterday, how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was speaking to him for like 7 days, and he was so humble and tolerant that he sat there and listened to everything. You try that today and see what would happen. You know, so anyway, that's some of the, you know, the things that we have to. When he was in the Jagannath Puri temple, this was this one lady who climbed on his back to get darshan of the deity, and he was sannyas in those days or so, you know. We had that experience also when we were in Jagannath Puri. One old lady climbed on my back and climbed up on the cart. Yeah, she was like at least 70 years old, right? It was funny. And I kind of remember that. I was trying to, you know, initially I was going to brush her off, and then I remember said, no, she's going to take dash and let her climb. Because there's no question of climbing on the steps. There were like, you know, thousands of people trying to go there. And you always talk about, somehow or other. Well, I've seen somehow or other there. Hare Krishna. So anything else? Ostita Dimuni, you can take the last question. It's 9 o'clock now.
I'm just throwing it out there. You know, we talk about perfection that came up in the class. English. When Prabhupada said humbly, even if the English isn't perfect, please take the message.
Yeah.
But then, you know, what does that mean to be perfect in English? Mm. You know, it's like a relative material. I'm giving myself a headache here. It's 21. It's just a relative standard. I mean, perfect English according to, you know, Oxford English Dictionary 1940, or perfect English according to, like, Shakespeare in 1600, you know, it's just a relative moving standard. There's really no standard of actual perfection. It's a relative, anyway, so I guess what I'm driving at is when we talk about perfection, there's some standard that we're conceiving of at which we're judging the value, or that's close to the perfection. And so I guess when we're speaking of perfection and bhakti, it's really just, you know, unalloyed devotion, and everything else is pretty relative to that.
Yeah, there's something here in the preface of the Bhagavatam, what Srila Prabhupada based his teachings on. Is it It was supposed to be in the preface, was it? Is it preface or introduction? Forward. Oh, yes, it's in the forward. Tadvagva sarva janataga vipralo yasmin pati slokam abhajavati api. Anyway, so the translation is, on the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories, of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words, directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So that's the qualification of perfection right there, isn't it? Yeah. So anyway, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. 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 Jai.